Gospel of John. So if you're not super familiar with your Bible yet, that's okay. In the New Testament, it goes Matthew, Mark, Luke, and then John. That's one of the four Gospels of the life of Christ. And so the title of today's message is Truth or Consequences, and you're going to find your way there in John chapter 5, and we're going to look at verses 30 through 46 this morning. If you're a note taker, or if you want notes for today's message, they should be out in the back by door C. You can grab a set of that, and then maybe you can write on the back of the Bible there if you brought a pen, or there should be pens out there. And if you want to share this message with anybody, you can, of course, find it later on the website, and you can give that to them. But how many of you know the name Bob Barker? Can I see a show of hands? Most of you. Okay, so there's just a few of you that are beyond that. I know he's been gone for a little while. So if you don't know Bob Barker as an individual, surely you ought to know the game The Price is Right, right? Does everybody know the game Price is Right? Okay, so all of us know about the game Price is Right. Well, I don't know how much you knew about old Bob Barker, but he actually was a game show host before Price is Right. How many of you know the game show that he hosted before Price is Right? Raise your hand if you know that. Okay, much, much fewer of you. I'll give you a hint. The title of the game show is on the screen. Did you know that? It was a game show called Truth or Consequences. Old Bobby Boy, he was a game show host of Truth or Consequences before Wheel of Fortune. Okay, or not Wheel of Fortune, Price is Right. So for Bob, in this show, Truth or Consequences, it's about exactly as you might picture it in your mind. So the contestants were given trivia, okay? And if they answered the trivia right, that's the truth, right? Then they could avoid the consequences. If they got it wrong, then of course there was consequences. And of course they were lighthearted consequences. See, you know, nobody left in an ambulance or anything like that. One of the shows that I had seen while I was looking this up was a pair of gentlemen who got it wrong, and so they had to ride a unicycle on national TV, and they had never done this before, right? So there's just a fiasco of them trying to ride a unicycle, and nobody they haven't done that before. However, truth matters. Truth today in a lot of fields is up for debate. Truth itself is often on trial. And so I want to talk about truth. C.S. You've heard me say this before. It's a very famous line. It's one of my favorites by C.S. Lewis. The truth about Jesus matters. All truth matters, and there's consequences to both positively and negatively to all these kind of things. And C.S. Lewis puts it that Jesus is either liar, lunatic, or Lord, right? And we have to pick one. We just can't be, we can't just not have an opinion on Jesus. Who Jesus is matters. The truth matters. And so we're going to call some witnesses into the courtroom today. So in this section of text, Jesus is going to give us some witnesses. Some witnesses that tell us who he is. And then I want to share with you the consequences of those witnesses. The truth matters. Muslims say that Jesus is a prophet, but not God. Jehovah's Witnesses say that Jesus was an angel, the first creation, but not God. Mormons say that Jesus was the spiritual offspring of a heavenly father and a heavenly mother, but not God. See, the truth matters. So, let's pray, and we'll call the witnesses to the stand, and we can be a participant in today's courtroom, and we each get to make our own judgment. Okay? Let's pray. God, our Father in heaven, I thank you for today. I pray that you would be with us now as we look at these witnesses that Jesus tells us are there, that as we examine them in your courtroom, Lord, that we would be able to come to the truth
And that the consequences of that truth, Lord, might be made manifest in our own lives. And it's in your name that we do pray. Amen. So, because we had the thing set up, I've got my screens here differently. So in John 5, 30 through 32, this is what it says. He says, I can do nothing on my own. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just because I seek not my own will, but the will of him who sent me. So this is Jesus talking about his Father and why he's doing what he's doing and those kind of stuff. Now, in verse 31, he makes a statement, if I alone bear witness about myself, my testimony is not true. Now, what he's saying about that is not that he's saying that he is lying. What he's saying is what we all know to be the case, which is in Proverbs, which is all throughout, like, you need more than one witness, okay? Proverbs talks about, hey, a case sounds right when it's brought to you by one person, but when it's examined, maybe you find out other things. And so what Jesus is not saying here, when I tell you that I'm the Messiah, I'm lying. That's not what he's saying. What he is saying here is, I could tell you anything I want to tell you. That doesn't make it fact, right? I could come to you and I could say, hey, I've got $1 million. And you can be like, okay, well, we better ask Elisa, right? Or I could tell you, hey, when I was in high school, I won a gold medal in the state 200-meter hurdles. And you'd be like, okay, well, was anybody else there? Show me the medal, right? You see, what Jesus is saying is here is we understand that it takes corroboration, right? There needs to be other people that are saying that has taken place. Now, the cool thing about it is, when we talk about Jesus, we have four gospels, right? Now, all of them are a little bit different, and if you haven't read all of them, or it's been a little while, or if you're brand new to all this stuff, that might be a little confusing as why they're a little bit different, but they're all different for a little bit of different reason. And in today's text, like I said, Jesus understands it can't be just him telling us this. There needs to be other witnesses. So, he says in verse 32, there is another who bears witness about me, and I know the testimony that he bears about me is true. And so I already kind of gave away the thing here, but it's John the Baptist who he's talking about. So John the Baptist, will you please come forward? We're going to examine you on trial this morning as a witness to who Jesus is. And he says in chapter 5, verse 33, you sent to John, and he has borne witness to the truth. Sorry, some of this I've got up here for you. So you sent to John and he bore witness about the truth. And what's the truth he's talking about? Now, if you remember the history of the book of John so far, what was John the Baptist talking about? He said, I saw heaven opened. I baptized this guy. I've told you I'm not worthy to carry his sandals, and this is the one. John the Baptist said, hey, this is the Lamb who takes away the sin of the world. I saw heaven opened. I saw the Spirit of the Dove come upon him. God sent me into the wilderness to be the one who would herald this man's place. In 34, it says, Not that the testimony that I receive is from man, but I say these things so that you might be saved. So Jesus is already saying, like, it's not John who is the one who's saying who I am. John was given this, and he was given this for a purpose for y'all. John isn't doing this so that I can. What Jesus is saying here is, I don't need anyone to tell me my identity. I didn't have to go to John to find out who I was. I knew who I was. John was sharing with you who I am. He's testifying to who I am, not for me, but for you. And he tells us then more about John. He says, he was a burning and a shining lamp, and you were willing to rejoice for a while in his light. Now think about a lamp. What is the purpose of a lamp? To give light. But the purpose of a lamp is not to give light simply for the purpose of giving light. It's to give light so that you can see the things around it. Right? John's purpose in his giving of the light, his lamp, so, okay, the lamp gives light, right? But is the lamp light? No, it is not the light. It is giving off the light. And so, same thing with the moon. We see the moon because it's a reflection of the sun. That's what lights up the moon. So John is acting in the same way. John is a lamp, and he's giving light to, he's proclaiming that which is the light in Jesus. He says, I am the light of the world, right? And here's the other thing that we see in the text here. They accepted the witness of John. They went out and said, man, it's been 400 years since there's been a prophet. This guy's a prophet. Look, he wears funny clothes. He eats funny food. He talks crazy to people out here, and he's baptizing people. This is a prophet. And they loved it. They sent out to him and they asked him, who are you? Are you the Christ? And Jesus, or John said, no. Right? And so for a while, they were willing to accept the witness and the testimony of John the Baptist. But eventually, John the Baptist began to remind them of who they are. John the Baptist began to remind them that they too need a Savior, that their hearts too are wicked, that we all fall short. And so for them, and maybe for you, the testimony of just a mere man is not enough. I mean, I could give you my testimony. I could tell you what Jesus has done for me. I could tell you who I believe Jesus to be. I could tell you how when I was in middle school and high school, I lived apart from the law of God, that I pursued my own sinful passions, my own sinful pursuits. I could tell you that in January 1st of 2007, when I gave my life to Christ, that that was the beginning of a change, not only in my heart, but in my affections for God and in my relationship with people and in my vocation and my calling on my life. Like, I could share with you all the things that God has done for me and to me and through me over the time. I could give you the testimony of man. But is that enough? So Jesus calls another witness. So John the Baptist was witness one. He calls witness two. He says in verse 36, but the testimony that I have is greater than that of John. Wonderful. We've got an even better witness. What is it? Well, it's the works of Jesus. He says in verse 36, as I continue, but the testimony that I have is greater than that of John, for the works that the Father has given me to accomplish, the very works that I am doing, bear witness about me that the Father has sent me. Let's continue to remember about what's happened so far in the book of John. Do you remember Nicodemus? You remember Nicodemus? He was that the Pharisee. He was the ruler of the Jews, but he was also a little nervous. A little nervous about losing his position, a little nervous about being wrong, a little nervous about following after somebody who he wasn't sure about yet. So he comes to Jesus at night, right? He says to Jesus, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God. How do we know that, Nick? Well, here's what he says. We know this because no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. And let's think about the things that are about to happen. Things that have happened and things that are going to happen in the book of John. He turns water into wine. You remember that? He did a long distance healing. Do you remember that? The father came and said, well, you need to heal my son. He said, well, go. They're healed. And he found out that it was true. He healed a 38-year-old paralytic. You remember that? Pretty soon, he's going to call a dead man out of a grave. Pretty soon, he's going to feed a multitude. Pretty soon, he's going to walk on water. Pretty soon, he's going to give sight to the blind. He's going to cleanse lepers. He's going to give hearing to the deaf. What an amazing witness. If we were to see that today, would that be enough? See, these folks saw it firsthand. John 7, 31 says, yet many of the people believed in him. They said, when the Christ appears, will he do more signs than this man has done? Jesus could walk through a crowd and have somebody touch his cloak and then be healed. Jesus would heal people from morning until evening and then have to leave because he, I believe, completely spiritually and emotionally and physically exhausted from the needs of the people, and he would go away. People, you know these stories. People would go to Jesus and bust open the roof of a house just to get somebody to him so that he could heal them. You know these stories. The book of John in the end tells us this. John did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not even written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. And by the way, Jesus' works continue today. Think of your own lives. I could give you testimony of Jesus working things out in my life, of things that must be miraculous. My mom and dad could tell you of a time where my dad witnessed me being hit by a car. And I got up off the side of the road with not even a scratch or a bruise. I'm sure you could tell me of miraculous things in your life. The miracles of Jesus continue today, but as we examine that witness, is that enough? By God's grace, Jesus calls a third witness. He tells us in John chapter 5, verses 39, and John 5, 46 through 47, what that witness is, and he tells us that next witness is the Word of God, Scriptures, the Bible. Something as simple as a book, ink on a page, or, you know, I don't know, on a phone, if you do that. John 5, 39 says, you search the Scriptures. You search the Scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life, and it is they that bear witness about me. And this was the sad thing that was happening with the scribes and the Pharisees. This is the sad thing that can happen with us sometimes too. We miss the forest for the trees, so to speak. So Jesus calls his third witness and he says, look at the Word of God. Look at the things that Moses wrote. Look at the things that the prophets wrote. Look at all of the prophecies that he has fulfilled. Born of a virgin, born in Bethlehem, born from David, right? Would suffer, would die, would be resurrected. Some of those yet to come in the context of John to us, you know, looking back, they've already happened. And that's exactly what he says. He says, for if you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote of me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words? You see, the Bible is filled with prophecy that has been fulfilled and prophecy that will be fulfilled. The Bible is filled with historic accuracy. I love it when we see things on the news, and unfortunately it doesn't really go on like regular news. It's usually like some YouTube news or something like that, and they're like, whoa, scientists just found, or archaeologists just found that there's actually a place called Jericho. And I'm like, yeah. Scientists just discovered, archaeologists just found that there was actually a king Nebuchadnezzar. And I'm like, yeah, welcome. The Word of Scripture contains truth. Did you know Scripture has scientific authority? Did you know Scripture was telling people to wash their hands before they ate, even before science found out that there was things called germs? Do you know that in Scripture it describes the water cycle before we had that figured out? Did you know that in Scripture it refers to the earth as a globe before they ever launched a spacecraft? It's amazing. The words of Scripture. Not only that, but in that, in God's Word, I would ask you, when you read God's Word, do you feel as if God were speaking right to you? Is that enough? It is because of this one, God's word, and then the fourth and final witness that Jesus calls then, that maybe we can come to our own conclusion. The fourth and final one that he gives us in today's text is actually God himself, or what we could call the Spirit of God, God the Father. God himself attests. Now you may make the argument, well, yeah, but he attests in his word. Yes, yes, he attests in his word. But he also attests within us personally. In the book of John 5, 37 through 38, he says this, "And the Father who sent me has himself borne witness about me." And we know that because John the Baptist said that, right? But we also know that through other things that are going to happen. And we also know that if we are his, we know that because the still, small voice of the Holy Spirit speaks within our own hearts. But he says, "My Father who sent me has borne witness about me. His voice you have never heard, his form you have never seen, and you do not have his word abiding in you, for you do not believe that the one whom he has sent." And this would be such a blow to these Pharisees that he's talking to. They have been studying Scripture for years and years. They would have it memorized. They would be able to rattle it off to you for hours at a time without ever looking at a text. But he says, "You don't have the word of God in you." First John 5, 9 through 10 says, "If we receive the testimony of men, the testimony of God is greater. For this is the testimony of God that he has borne concerning his Son. Whoever believes in the Son of God has the testimony in himself. Whoever does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed in the testimony that God has borne concerning his Son." Romans 8, 16 tells us, "The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God." You see, what this is talking about is special revelation. All of us have something the Bible refers to, or we have sussed out as general revelation, right? I can go out there and I can look at the stars, I can look at the sky, I can look at the oaks, I can look at the birds, and just like I can look at this watch and I can say, man, this is a really fine piece of machinery. I mean, it fits my wrist just right. There's a hole for each size. There's a little place like I can put it so it fits in there snugly and securely. When I move it, it functions the way it's supposed to. It gives me information in a way that I can understand it and I can read it. And so this is so beautiful. Isn't it amazing that this just popped out of the ground that way? Isn't this amazing that you yourself could go out there wandering in the forest and find a watch just like this? I mean, that they just are natural occurrence that happen out there. You say, well, that's foolish. Something that's so plainly made and has a purpose clearly must have had a designer. That's general revelation. We can look at the world around us and have general revelation. What we need to know Jesus and who he is special revelation, and that's given to us by the Spirit of God. It's by the Father who says things like, "This is my beloved Son, listen to him." By Jesus, when they said who he was, he said, "Flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, Peter. It was only by my Father that you know I am the Christ." It's by words of Jesus that he says things like, "No one comes to me unless the Father draws him." So Jesus, this morning, Jesus has given us four witnesses. He's given us the Spirit, he's given us the Word, he's given us the works that he's done, and he's given us personal testimony. So I want to share with you, that's the truth. So what are the consequences? Well, I would like to look at them negatively first, because the truth matters. And if we don't abide by the truth, then there's consequences. Right, Gress kids? Yeah. Right, church family? Yeah. So what are the consequences? Well, firstly, you cannot understand Scripture if you do not believe that Jesus is God. It says in John 5, 39, "You search the Scriptures because you think that in them," let me see, I think it's up here. Whoops. You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life, and it is they that bear witness about me. You see, it isn't scriptures that give you eternal life, it's Jesus. It's not belief that the Bible is the word of God that gives you eternal life, it's Jesus. If you come to the Bible looking for things other than Jesus, you're missing the main part of the narrative. You're missing what it's about. He also says, just next, if you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote of me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words? If you are a Christian and you read the Bible while missing this point, that Jesus is God, you're going to struggle. You're going to struggle with confusion, discouragement, frustration, ineffectiveness, and even stagnation. If we don't recognize the fullness of Christ's deity, we're going to wrestle with confusion because the parts won't make sense by themselves. You are going to struggle with discouragement because it'll seem like a duty instead of a delight. You're going to struggle with frustration because your love for the scriptures will not grow. If you don't realize it's a love letter from Jesus to you, you're going to struggle with ineffectiveness because you won't understand why it matters in your life, and you're going to struggle with stagnation because you won't see any growth or understanding or maturity. 1 Corinthians 2, 13 through 14 tells us, we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. So unfortunately, that's the first consequence, is not understanding Scripture. But the second consequence is that you cannot know, love, or honor God if you do not know Jesus as God. John 5:38 says, and you do not have his word abiding in you, for you do not believe the one whom he has sent. How could I love Alisa if I don't know her? How could I honor her if I don't know her? If we do not accept the truth that Jesus is God and fully man, I know that's 200%. But anything's possible with God, right? Fully God and fully man, if we don't accept that truth, then we cannot know, love, or honor God. Because we're missing who God is. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. He tells us that we do not have the love of God within us if we don't accept that. And then lastly, the consequence is that we cannot avoid judgment, and this is probably the worst of all of them from our perspective. If we do not recognize Jesus as fully God, fully man, if we do not recognize Jesus as our Savior, there is no other way for us to be saved. John 5:34 says, not that the testimony that I receive is of man, but I say these things, why? So that you may be saved. In John 5:39 and 40, it says, you search the scriptures because you think in them you have eternal life, and it is they that bear witness about me. Yet you refuse to come to me that you may have life. John 3:16 through 18, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe him is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the Son of God. And then lastly, Acts 4:12, which says, there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which you must be saved. You see, Jesus has given us every single witness that he possibly can. We have examined them this morning, and friend, there are truth, and there is consequences to that truth. And the truth is that God came down in the flesh. He is fully God, fully man, Jesus Christ, the only way to salvation. See, if Jesus is not God, then he cannot atone for the fullness of sin. If he is not God, then we have no hope of righteousness. But Scripture tells us Jesus is God. So what are the consequences if you believe that? Well, let me share them with you in closing. Bob Barker said this at the end of every episode of Truth or Consequences. He said, "Here's hoping that all your consequences are happy ones." Well, as we've just looked, outside of Christ, those consequences are not happy ones. But in Christ, if he is your Lord and Savior, your consequences are not that you won't understand the Bible. It is that you will understand the Bible. That he will deliver to you new truths every day. That when you read Scripture, you will, even over years and years of reading through Scripture, you will come across texts from time to time that will speak to you today that did not speak to you before. You will come across truths in Scriptures that you will slap your knee and you will say, "I swear that wasn't there last time I read this." And of course it will be. You will understand Scripture in all kinds of ways. And here's the thing. I don't mean that you'll understand it so well that you're called to preach and teach and all those kind of things, but you will understand it anew for you. God will have a word for you every single day you read Scripture. You will understand the Bible. Another consequence, if you don't know Jesus, is you won't know, love, or honor God. But if you do know Jesus, you can know, love, and honor God. He will give you a knowledge of Christ that goes beyond what others can understand. He will give you a personal knowledge of Christ. He will give you a love for Christ. He will give you direction and maturity in your life. And he will do something in you called sanctification, that as you grow day in and day out, you will grow more and more like the one you love. And he will renew you and reform you and remake you. And your life will grow to honor God in ways all the more. And this one, I think, deserves an amen. If you don't know Jesus Christ, you won't avoid judgment. But if you do know Jesus Christ, not only will you avoid judgment, you receive adoption. You receive inheritance. You receive righteousness. You receive holiness. You receive all of the blessings that Jesus, how should I gain from his reward? I cannot find an answer. Of course not. The only thing that we can say is praise the one who is slain as we throw our crowns on that glassy sea. And we will stand before the King, and somehow, in Christ Jesus, he will say to you, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Not only will you avoid judgment, you will receive reward. You see, the fact is, when we know Jesus, we will see him on every single page. Let's pray. God, our Father in heaven, I thank you that you have given us these witnesses. I pray that you would give us assurance, that you would give us hope and zeal, peace and power as our witnesses are sure. So God, help us to be a personal witness to others, that we would bear a testimony and be a light as John the Baptist. God, I pray that we would tell of the works of Jesus in our own lives, that we would share the works that he has given to us and that they might be a witness to others. God, I thank you for the words of Scripture, that we might hide them in our heart so that we could use them as a faithful witness, giving an answer both in season and out of season, that we would know your word and it would profit our hearts. And God, we thank you that the Spirit of God is a witness that dwells in every single one of us who call on the name of Christ, that you have condescended not only to take on the flesh, but to make your temple within our flesh, Lord, that we might be living and holy stones. And so, God, we praise you that you are both fully God and fully man. It's in your name we pray. Amen. All right, I'd like to call the guys up who are going to help us with communion. And as they come up, I just want to share with you